Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10 and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Hokas, Pierre LaFon Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And speaking of CSU Channel Islands, our two guests today, Heather Castillo, Assistant Professor of Performing Arts and Dance at Channel Islands, and Mary Park, who is a lecturer in the Performing Arts and Dance Department at CSU Channel Islands. Welcome.
Thank you.
So at 11 o'clock this morning, I was listening to Cushman's radio show here on AM 1290, and he had as a guest someone talking about art. And today, 2-3 hours later, we have someone talking about dance. So this is the Humanities Channel now. And what's interesting about that is that there's been, you know, a great deal of discussion in the press over the last 10 years about the value of humanities and the, you know, the monetization of a degree. What's a degree worth? Does it really make sense to understand Shakespeare and Socrates, or is it more important to know how to trade a bond? So, but you two come here in the strictest sense of the word, in the arts. So good for you. And so tell us, so dance. Now, how does dance fit into somebody's education? How does that make somebody, you know, a Renaissance person or a better person?
Well, dance in general. So even if you didn't want to make it a degree, but even coming and taking a class, dance asks you to be your most present self. When you are in the classroom and the teacher is talking about the body and the movement and your learning is extremely present, you can't just go into your piece of paper and you can't hide and not speak. You have to move collectively as a unit. And this really helps students understand a deep part of themselves and is really important. And the other thing about the arts, and I think in particular dance, is it is part of the human economy. So they talk about we have had industrial revolutions and different revolutions and that we're moving towards the human revolution, and dance and theater and music, but in particular dance, asks you to be human and to understand empathy. And in the dance classroom, more than any other, you have to be extremely empathetic with yourself first, because your learning process is so incredibly present and live. And so I find dance actually essential. People want to think of it as extracurricular. And I think if the world danced, if we all danced, then a lot of our problems would be solved.
Well, if we lived in India, we would, because all their movies show people dancing as part of the actual day-to-day functioning.
In 1950, our movies did too.
Yeah. So is it a self-selecting group of students? Because you say that dance makes you feel certain things, expresses yourself. So many people are so closed in. So do you only get the kids who have that innate understanding of what they need to do, or freedom to do that, as opposed to the people that are going to go to a business school and get an MBA?
I get a little of both. I think it is very brave to step into a dance classroom in your late teens and early 20s, or even I've had students who are non-traditional age learners come back in as, you know, parents in their 30s and 40s and step into a dance class without any training. I think that's very brave to step into a dance class. But I get both. I get the business student and I get the psychology student and the nursing student for the first time. And some of them have switched majors. Not too many of them, but occasionally some of them feel like they seen something. And I get also students who have a deep calling for dance and they want to do this for a living and want to explore it and its many facets.
And this is a degree?
Yes, program? You can get a degree. We are housed in the Program of Performing Arts and you can emphasize in dance.
And the kids need to take all of the other courses to get a degree, English and history. This is just be a major. You still have to take all of the other requirements.
Yes, and actually, it's essential as an artist that you have a very liberal arts education. It is important for you to understand to create art about really important things, the sciences and the arts and English. English composition and dance composition have really strong ties. So it actually makes them a more whole artist to have that liberal arts education in addition to their very specific dance education.
This is the radio, so we can't demonstrate. But wouldn't that be nice if we could dance?
Well, we can. They can feel it in our voice. It makes us groovier and happier.
By the way, you mentioned the 50s. The movie La La Land was able to integrate dance and song into the script, which is very difficult to do in today's environment of everything being so real. But it was. I like the movie, and the ability to create that fantasy is, I guess, a real art in itself.
Yes. So if you look back at, say, the golden age of movie musicals, which I'll define as 1940 to 1965, that's sort of my actually specific area of study is those dancers. And it goes away as the country wants to buy into realism. And what happened between then and, say, even 1980, 1990 is people forgot how to integrate and to put dance and that fantasy into movies. But as we have had a surge of dance in our commercial arena, so You Think You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars, America's Best Dance Crew, every singing artist has their entourage of dancers that go with them, people are more willing to believe and make that stretch, and dance makers are having more practice at getting better again at integrating dance into film. So I'm hoping that we start to see more and more of it.
Well, I think that Mary would disagree on the dates, because I think Rent was 1996. And
yes.
Mary, tell us about your experience doing Rent.
By
the way, if you're not a Broadway show enthusiast, was a very, very big hit and a breakthrough type of a show for that period.
Yeah. My experience with Rent was that I was hired initially as the replacement Alexi Darling and dance captain for the final Broadway tour. So I never was on the stage at the Nederlander, but I was on tour with Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal and Gwen Stewart, a couple of the original cast members. The choreographer of that show is someone named Marlise Yerby. Marlise and I had worked together. I had first met her in 1997. When I was a freshman in college at UMass Amherst. And then I went on to dance with her in 2004 on a piece that she did, a dance theater piece she did in Brooklyn. And then 5 years after that, she called me up and said, or she sent me an email and said, "Hey, do you sing?" I was like, "Sure." Of course, I'd known about Rent since I was a freshman in college, had never seen it. I knew the entire music and I am now currently her associate choreographer on the 20th anniversary tour. And this is my second year of having put up the tour with Marlise and Tim Weil, who's the original musical director. And our current director for the show is Evan Ensign, and he's doing it in following Michael Greif, the original direction. So it's essentially the original production. And I've had a lot of conversations with Marlise about what it was to create the show. And for her, as someone who's coming into it from a sort of a downtown New York contemporary modern aesthetic, but very specifically dance theater, she's someone who dances Jawale, who is the founder of Urban Bushwomen. And so she really came to it as, let's make work. And sort of it got shoehorned into this very commercial process of, oh, you just made a dance. It's great. Let's put it up there. And she was like, wait, I'm used to making a dance for an entire year. And they had a very specific short process. And this is when they were still at New York Theater Workshop. This is before it transferred. This is when Jonathan Larson was alive, and he was part of the process as well. And what was really interesting to hear Marlies talk about this was that she really thought about who the characters are as opposed to imposing dance moves and choreography and spectacle, which is very different from, I think, the tradition of Broadway, which goes all the way back, you know, traced all the way back to vaudeville and this idea of huge moments. And really what she was doing was coming out with movement that came out of a human experience. And so as a result, the show breathes in a way that a lot of other shows hadn't previously, because it was very much about 5, 6, 7, 8. In the show, when we teach the show, there are no counts.
So do you sing?
I do sing.
Okay, because, you know, when John Wayne was asked in 1934, before his first movie, can he ride a horse? He said, of course. He had never been on a horse. I was going to say, one of the lessons, if you want to get cast, whatever the question is, the answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Heather Castillo, an assistant professor at performing arts and dance at Cal State Channel Islands, and Mary Park, a lecturer at Cal State Channel Islands. So we were talking before about dance and the fact that it is a credit choice of courses there. What is the you know, how does it fit in? Is there pecking order? Do people on the staff all accept this, or do they think of it as sort of like an easy course versus Latin? I mean, are you part of everyone understands on the faculty the value of this?
I would say that in universities in general, that the arts sort of are outliers from time to time. And that was my experience when I was going to school, that particularly at Irvine, it was designed that the School of the Arts was actually outside the circle of the rest of the school, like literally geographically on purpose outliers. But at Channel Islands, we have this great show. I don't know how people felt about dance before we got there, but before I started working there. But we have this program called Arts Under the Stars. And it was always part of the goal to involve the mission pillars of the campus, which is integration, community, and service, multiculturalism, and oh gosh, brain is going to fail me right now. Service, multiculturalism, internationalism, and integration. There they are. There's the four.
For those who don't have a TV set, that was done without notes.
That was done without notes. I don't have any notes in front of me. And so I had a student, we do a dance, did a dance concert every spring, who came to me, and he was actually a political scientist, and he said, I want to use this dance space as a forum for my capstone. And the capstone is sort of their senior culmination project. And it had been okayed by his thesis advisor. And so he wanted to focus on transgender bullying. And he was very brave in his creation of this. And he used Obama's speech on bullying as the backdrop for the opening of his piece, where while he enacted he himself and other students bullying him, and he was dressed in sort of quasi-transgender. And then it opened up into this beautiful dance of acceptance after that. And it was at that moment that I was like, every single piece that happens within this concert should come from other parts of the campus, should reflect what's going on today. And so then on, I started doing a call for research. And so we have danced cancer cells, bird migration, everything, dance, theater, using theater and music. So the dance, music, and theater students, and also student research students, work together to essentially take what would be a poster presentation a traditional undergraduate student would do, and they turn it into a multimedia presentation with a 10 by 16 foot screen behind them. So they're working with a graphic designer and different artists to bring these different research projects in the campus to life. We work with Chicano, and Chicana Studies always does something every year, ESRM, and potentially physical sciences, some robotics is might happen this coming year. So we're working on different things. And so and nursing has done different things. The theme is empathy this year. So people are gearing up to present their research, and the students are gearing up to figure out how to present all of these ideas in research. What that has done for the arts that I don't think happens on other campuses in regard to the arts, where the arts is, oh, that's pretty and that's lovely and that's over there. They go, this is essential because this takes our research ideas and presents them in a way that opens people's hearts and then opens their minds. And so I don't feel that we are viewed as the easy course or the existential extracurricular course, but an important and integrated part of the university because of how we have approached our fellow colleagues and community members within the CI community.
And are you part of the, or is the theater department part of your group, or is that so? It's
yeah.
So there's a show or something. It's all part of the same.
Yes, we're the performing arts program, and part of the reason we're housed under that is we want you to be really good in what you choose, dance, music, or theater. We want you to emphasize in that and get really good at it. But to be an artist today, a performing artist, you will most likely work with a musician at some point, and you will most likely work in the theater at some point. And so you have to have a synthesis and an understanding of these other disciplines. Hop in anytime
sure.
you want, Mary.
I think the thing that's really exciting about what Heather has started to grow already, of course, this is my first semester there, but having seen Arts Under the Stars this past spring, is that she and I share the prerogative of that, you know, dance and performance moving into the 21st century is going to go in places that we haven't seen yet. So specifically in the form of dance, whatever dance models existed in the past have started to collapse. So by the time I got to New York in 2000, the year 2000, this model of an independent dance company was starting to disappear because it was too hard to sustain it economically. But now, because we have this, like, huge push into technology, into digital life. The things that we see in our Facebook feeds and our Instagram feeds, Snapchat, is so much of the stories that are being told are told through movement and dance. So how do we equip these students now to move forward into the world where they become enterprising using movement and art to tell a human story, which goes back to our first thought about humanities. Why are the humanities relevant? Because it really is, how do we tell our human experience? And so my master's degree is a liberal studies degree. It's an American studies degree. And people often wondered why I did that. And it was because I wanted to be able to speak the other disciplinary languages in order to tell why dance is integrated into these other disciplines. And so I feel like Arts and the Stars brings all of those things together and makes it more than relevant. It makes it essential.
You know, AHA has, as one of its most important initiatives, is to try to stop bullying and increase empathy. And, you know, one of the things that I've asked people who've come on the show is, can you teach empathy? And there's a mixed answer to that. But you mentioned before that there was a performance that was trying to deal with empathy. And, you know, that's something that's really important to our society. When you look at the political fragmentation in the country today and the tribalism in the country today, empathy is probably the most, not just for teens, but for everyone, the most important missing characteristic of a human being.
So last year during Arts Under the Stars, our theme is actually chose by our Center for Integrative Studies, and they had chosen borders, and they had actually chosen it over a year in advance. We had just no idea how relevant it would be. And I had two student pieces that were created specifically around these ideas of red and blue groupings in the United States. And I actually was so proud of the students because it was so easy for them to want to present all one side or the other, but they really wanted to get at the heart of why these two dichotomies existed. And so the students that were in charge of this particular piece, they sat down and they really started talking before they ever got on their feet and started, you know, creating a piece of art, having some really difficult and challenging discussions about different sides and perspectives. And they created this piece that presented two sides to every coin: police brutality, but police excellence, and different sides of this coin of immigration in one piece. And they didn't judge either side. They tried to very clearly present these two pieces with news headlines happening behind them on the screen. And I can tell you that I feel like I wish the world would see this piece, right? Because they presented a very empathetic and human presentation of where we are at today. And people who were at the concert, who were at this particular Arts Under the Stars this last year, went away having really important discussions from an empathetic place instead of just working on our divisiveness, moving from a place of empathy. So I feel like the practice of the arts can actually teach empathy and really ask a lot of you as your empathetic self.
Yeah, there was an article in the New York Times about 2-3 days ago that showed, or at least had the results of a poll that said almost all Republicans have very few Democratic friends, and the same was true for Democrats. So, and that's not surprising given what we have today. And so conversation is very difficult if you don't know anybody on the other side. And so I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, people will go to the theater not knowing that this is going to be an eye-opening moment and hopefully begin a discussion. But that, I guess, is something that it could really benefit everybody.
Well, I think dance, embodied practice, any embodied practice, and performing arts is becoming much more relevant today than it ever has, because it's actually forcing people to be physically in the same space with each other. Whereas now we're getting so separated and hiding behind our devices that, you know, these discussions, the comment boards that happen underneath posts, is so binary: good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, when life really is so much in between. There's so many different shades of gray in between the black and the white. And, you know, the adage of, you know, you won't know someone else's experience unless you walked a mile in their shoes. I mean, that's really what dance asks you to do. If you are doing someone else's choreography, you literally have to physicalize someone else's movement, which activates other emotions, feeling, whether it's a block of, I can't do this thing. I just can't do it. Why is that happening? So to ask a student, a young person, to physically embody someone else's perspective, I think is the embodiment of what empathy is.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Heather Castillo, assistant professor of performing arts and dance at CSU Channel Islands, and Mary Park, associate choreographer for the 20th anniversary of Rent. Congratulations on that. And a lecturer at CSU Channel Islands. So, how did you guys get into dancing? Would you start when you were 30 or when you were 5? I saw Chorus Line, so I think I know the answer to this.
I danced around the house, and my mom put me in dance when I was 3. And I have a very distinct memory of telling an elementary school teacher at 8 that I was going to be a dancer. And their response being, well, what are you going to – like, what is that? Like, you're not going to be able to do that. And here I am several decades later making my life in dance in many different facets, from performer to choreographer to educator to researcher. Dance is my life, and I can't imagine my life without it. So I've just always danced.
But you skipped over it. You went from 3 to now. But what, like, did you go to, were you interested in dance during school? Did you?
Yes. My mom put me in dance lessons, like a little tiny dance studio locally.
And where was locally? Where are you from?
I'm from Santa Clarita, actually. Mm. So fairly close to here. And my mom, and I loved to dance, and so my mom wanted to make sure that I had – and I was very clear that this is what I wanted to do. And so we were only 20 minutes, 30 minutes from some of the best studios in Los Angeles. So at 13, my mom started taking me into L.A. to take with professionals. So I was like 13 taking with 25-year-olds who were working professionally in L.A. And then at 18, I went and I got an agent, and I performed. I performed a lot with Disney at the time, because that was in the 90s. What was available really for me at the time to work. And I did a lot of television specials and things called industrials, which is where, like, say for Nike or Adidas or Diamonds or different things that you, they would have like a conference, and then like the morning presentation would be like the dance show, and we would go and do that. I did Power Rangers Live for a little while. I did that a very short time. And then in my late 20s, this is right before So You Think You Can Dance. And this is actually important, that I feel that in the 90s, the climate of commercial dance in Los Angeles was that you could either do hip hop. So this really speaks to what Miri was talking about, but different in LA than New York, that I had been training to be a jazz dancer, like on solid gold. I mean, but it's really true, right? Like, that's what I was training to do. But what was happening is this underground hip hop thing was happening. So I go and I graduate high school and everything's like really funky and awesome. And I can dance like solid gold. And so I start taking some hip hop classes here and there. But really, I'm a sort of a musical theater girl at heart. And so where I found a lot of work was with on television specials for Disney, and a lot of sort of corporate events with Disney. That was a lot of the kind of work that I did in industrials. And by the time I had hit my late 20s, it was sort of like there felt like there was a ceiling, that there wasn't much more to do in dance for me in Los Angeles. So I went back to school to explore dance education and different things. And then So You Think You Can Dance hit, and it has changed essentially America's perspective on dance and the reality television show, and also the internet and YouTube, and people just having dance in their face so much has changed all that, which is amazing and wonderful. And I think I would also like to say that I think that hip hop coming to fruition in the 90s was really important and an essential part of why dance is so prevalent today. So
And why you've had a democratization of dance. You know, if you listen to your story, it appears that you had a mother that had the resources and willingness to go the next step. And, you know, so many of the kids in Santa Barbara, I think, you know, we have one of, believe it or not, even though it appears to be a rich community, one of the highest percent of kids on food stamps. So we have kids here that may have the same dream, but they don't have a mother or father that's going to take them into LA for a dance class. So, you know, one of the things about hip hop is sort of made it possible for people to kind of, you know, learn street dancing and get some experience without having to have the resources to get professional training.
So I'm going to turn this over to Miri, because I have a plan for Channel Islands and dance at Channel Islands and what dance can do. And so when Miri came into my life a year ago, she was a really important part of building this incredible opportunity. We have an opportunity to build a dance program for the 21st century at Channel Islands. And so I'll let you tell why you're so important and part of that.
So before you do that, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in
dance.
Sure.
I grew up in the middle of New Jersey, and I'm technically 1.5 generation. I was born in Seoul, Korea, but my parents lived in the States. And so I grew
1.5,
up...
1.5, that's a new one. I haven't
right,
heard that
well, because so, I'm not... I was born there, but I was raised here. Okay. So I'm sort of in between what the traditional generations are. But I grew up with a really keen awareness of the fact that I wasn't like my people around me. And when I went back to Korea, they were like, oh, you're American. And so it's this weird, strange in-betweenness. But I grew up, you know, going to a little dance studio in the middle of New Jersey. And as a result of that, I got into the competition dance culture. And so my entire life was consumed by sequins, and I call it now performing in drag, which at the time I didn't understand that it was performing in drag, because I was in full makeup, eyelashes, hair, you know, costumes and whatnot. And then it wasn't until I was a...
What kind of dance was that, though?
It was ballet, jazz, lyrical, yeah. Which is often debated still as a what kind of dance that is. And I now can speak more at length about what I believe it is. My junior year in high school, because I had a subscription to Dance Magazine, realized that in the ads that there are all these colleges that were promoting their dance departments. And I was like, oh, you can like major in this in college? That would make my parents, my Korean immigrant parents, happy. If I go to school and major in this, you know, then I can do this. So I remember sitting in my AP calculus class in my senior year, and I was like, I don't want to be doing calculus. I'd rather be practicing my forte turns. And that sort of solidified that. But I went in as a double major at UMass Amherst as a a BFA in dance and a BA in business originally. But after a year of sort of just getting by my business classes without having studied, it was just too easy. So I was like, I'm going to switch this. I'd rather do journalism. So I actually double degreed and have a BFA in dance and a BA in journalism. And people used to ask me, what do you want to do? And my time at UMass as a dancer, I shifted from being a competition studio dancer where I was really mostly trying to kick myself in the face and doing triple turns to actually crafting dances and understanding what it meant to be an artist. So that's primarily what my education was there in dance. So I shifted from competition dancing to contemporary modern dancing. Also, with this sort of emphasis in jazz at the time, which also has a very contested sort of convoluted thing. And once I moved to New York, people asked me, what do you want to do? And do you want to do dance or journalism? I said, whatever happens first. But my first job moving to New York happened to be interning at the Village Voice under Elizabeth Zimmer, who is the dance editor. And as a result, I saw dance every night of the week and understood what it meant to be a part of the dance, New York City dance community.
And you made a good choice because the Village Voice just went out of business. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back. Yeah.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Heather Castillo, Assistant Professor of Performing Arts, Dance at the California State University at Channel Islands, and Miri Park, who is a lecturer of dance at California State University, Channel Islands. And, you know, we talk about how important dance is. When I went to college, the only thing I could do was dance, which is so funny because you would think that's the last thing I could do. That was my social entree. I was a really good dancer in the days of the 60s, which is actually holding on and doing this kind of stuff. So I used to go to where you go to dance at a college. Remember the old days? A mixer.
Oh.
Okay. I would go to a mixer, and I would, like in Saturday Night Fever, you know, when he walks down the street, I would walk in, and then I would grab a girl and dance, and everyone would stop dancing. That ended when I was a sophomore in college. And I didn't dance again until 40 years later when my son got married, my wife and I took dancing lessons. So it's really, you know, I have an appreciation for dance, but you really need to practice more than once every 40 years. So tell me a little bit about your initiative with hip-hop. And that's something that you would, that I would be surprised, you know, has a place in academia, but, you know, it's obviously been a big mover in the dance world. So what are we doing now with hip-hop?
Sure. Well, just to continue off a little bit from before, when I moved to New York, I about a year into it, I started writing for Dance Spirit magazine, and they asked me to research an article about B-girls. And I was like, what's a B-girl? And they're like, oh, it's a woman who breakdances. I was like, breakdancing? Who breakdances anymore? It's the year 2000. Like, come on. But then, of course, I was shocked to find that breaking actually, you know, there was a through line of people who continued to break, and that it the more I found out about it, the more I realized it's like, oh, this is an indigenous American art form. And there are people, the practitioners, are embodying all of these different elements about what it means to be American. And so I ended up started to practice breaking. And then my mentor, Break Easy, who's from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, was like, are you going to come back?
That's his real name, right?
Yes. Richard Santiago. And so what ended up happening is I ended up writing the article for The Voice, not for Dance Spirit magazine, and then told both of my editors that I can't write anymore because I really wanted to full-time just throw myself into breaking. So I spent about 5 years hardcore practicing, going to jams, battling, and I became a B-girl. And that sort of changed sort of my perspective about who I am as an American. That's something that I've always had a problem with growing up because I never felt comfortable in my own skin. Even at my dance studio in New Jersey, I was the only one of three people of color. And I didn't understand my sense of being uncomfortable until I found breaking. And I was like, oh, the music makes sense to me now. The movement makes sense to me. Being able to relate to all of these different people of all these different ages. So I started to see the world through understanding the music, and the music is not hip-hop music per se, but it is what we break to are the breaks from records that are the funk, rock, and soul records of the 60s and 70s. So it's all of these things that are now sampled in hip-hop music. So the people who are DJing became producers, all went back. So it's there's a huge historical legacy within the hip-hop culture. And so in my time, you know, in becoming a B-girl, I learned that there are these different elements of hip-hop. So you've got dance, which is primarily breaking, but also houses the form of popping, locking, and then the club dance forms of house, voguing, whacking. And now also it connects to social dance today of what's going on, what's being innovated constantly. So like flexing from Brooklyn or jitten from Detroit or Chicago footwork. There, you know, there's all of these regional dance forms that are now becoming hyper instantaneously global because of the internet. And now also because of shows like ABDC, So You Think You Can Dance, people are seeing these things and doing them themselves. So it is really very much about, I know people who have taught themselves how to vogue just by watching YouTube videos. Whether they know what the history of vogue is really, we don't know if he actually knows that it came from Harlem specifically, out of drag ball culture, out of, you know, there's in learning about these dance forms and learning about the dancers who innovated these forms, we're actually learning American history, cultural history. And it is inherently interdisciplinary. And so with the dance program at CI, we want to put that in the center of a student's dance education because it values what a student has grown up with culturally. And it may not, we sort of put the people who have studio training and had those opportunities, but also grew up dancing socially or even in their bedroom just by learning on YouTube, on the same playing field, allowing them to all move forward, mixing with each other, and then seeing what comes out of that. And that's something that I think a lot of traditional dance programs in universities are having a very hard time rounding the corner into understanding who their students are, because I've spoken with people who are in these sort of like big dance programs and they're losing students because they've got students would rather spend time in dance clubs, in social dance clubs, because they're allowed to do all of these things where that's valued, this kind of choreography is valued, versus being forced down a path of, oh, you have to make ballet, you're the center of your technique. And they've already so far behind where, you know, the current dance majors are.
So let me play devil's advocate. You talk about in the beginning that this is something that made you feel more identified to be in this community. You mentioned 10 or 11 different forms of new dance, you know, breaking. The word breaking, I'm sure, is a word that there are many people out there have no idea what you mean, and other words that I don't even know what you mean. So here we have, you know, I'm sure we have 50 and 60 and 70-year-old listeners. You know, one of the things about art is that it's really good if it can communicate. So how do you take something that obviously is invigorating and empowering to the dancer, and make it relevant to the audience? Because you lost me, and I'm not that old. I mean, yeah, I guess I am. How do you make it relevant to somebody who didn't grow up with breakdancing?
Well, I think musically, if you actually heard a record, right? If we heard the record, if we had a physical turntable here, and I put on, you know,
The Miracles.
Right, or you take a certain break, the break of the music. That's where break beats come from. That all of a sudden it'll start triggering something, a memory, a social memory. I mean, you talked about social dancing when you were in college, and a lot of what underground dancers now are doing is this partner hustle dancing, not the hustle that was propagated, you know, as this like line dance thing, but hustling. And all of the social dance aspect of relating to someone else. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, man, woman, 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 man, man. But this part, being able to work with each other, it's all coming back so hard. You know, there's a resurgence in the swing movement in Europe, I would say in the States, but really in Europe, where we're seeing all of the swing dancing happening again. And so I think...
That's good. That's the lessons I took. Swing.
Right.
That's good. You mean I'm back in vogue?
Absolutely. But never went out of vogue. That's the thing.
So everyone listening, if they go like YouTube a breakdancing video, but I also want you to Google Hell's a Poppin', which is Whitey's Lindy Hoppers, the people who actually helped to create and disseminate what was swing dance in Harlem at the Savoy Club in the 1930s and 40s. And when you watch it.
I have. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, okay, but it actually looks, I mean, the students, when you show it to them, it's like, boom, they're like, oh my gosh, that looks like the breakdancing that I do. And they come from the same place. And so they're not all that different. So part of our job is to connect them to their cultural movement history, where it all connects. And that's what's actually really important. So we can find a way for you to relate to it. It tells our history. It tells our movement history.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Heather Castillo, Assistant Professor of Performing Arts and Dance at Cal State Channel Islands, and Mary Park, a lecturer at Cal State Channel Islands. And we've been talking about the wonderful dance program, and you just got a dance credential. The school got a dance. What does that mean?
So the state of California, so Jerry Brown last September signed into law that the state of California for the first time in 30 years would have a dance credential. So it's one of the first big steps to democratizing dance and making dance available and making sure that the people who are teaching dance in the school system are qualified to teach dance and not people who were trained in PE and they have a unit in dance or trained in Spanish and you have to then, oh yeah, you also have to teach dance because you took one class at school and college. So now you're the dance instructor, but actually requires the same standards within that form. So it's really important to making dance available in California. It is the credential itself is still being worked out in committee. And as soon as it becomes available, I hope to bring it to Channel Islands.
Good. So tell us about the program as it exists now.
So right now, I just recently wrote several new classes last semester and added a few in. But at Channel Islands, you will never have to audition to get into the program. So if you've never had dance and you want to come and work hard, there is a place for you here. If you have worked really hard in a conservative program or a studio program and you want to come and dance, we will also really challenge you and prepare you for a life and its multifacets in dance. But the most important part is where the foundations for a large part of dance schools in the United States are founded in ballet and modern, and you have to audition to get in, which again closes the door to opportunity to so many students. You won't have to audition, and our focus is going to be on our American multicultural forms, our indigenous American forms, which is going to be jazz, hip hop, modern, and hopefully eventually tap. So we that's my long-term goal, along with really focusing on dance as a mode of education, performance and choreography. So a very multifaceted program, but focused on our American multicultural forms. And that's really important to me that that is available.
Okay, and final question is, since AHA is a teen program, how can teens benefit from this who don't go to CSU Channel Islands? Is there a way that teens can get the benefit of dance?
Dance does not, you don't have to be trained to dance. Everyone dances. You can put on a piece of music and that you love and let that music inform you. You can dance off of your friends. It's really important that our world dances. So don't, if you love to move and you want to dance, you don't have to wait for the quote unquote opportunity to do it. You can start right now, today.
Also, for teens who are in Santa Barbara specifically, you can go online and look up an organization called Everybody Dance Now and also Gaucho Street Dance because they do offer classes for students in street styles, all of the forms that I was talking about, at either affordable or free. So there is that option as well.
Isn't it too bad that life is not like a Broadway show? Like we could like walk out now and dance down the street, it would be normal?
Who says you can't?
Exactly.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Maybe we should do that. So I guess if you know where the radio station is, in 30 seconds, we'll be outside dancing. Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Mary. Is it too late for me to register at CSU Channel Islands?
No.
Never.
We appreciate students.
Well, thank you for all you do for your students. Thank you for being here. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
It's